We're back. Welcome to Deep Thinking, the motorcycle road racing podcast. He is Ed Sorbo, who is not wearing his Lindemann Engineering shirt today, but you can still find him on the web at le-suspension.com.
Did you know that this is radio?
Radio, why?
Well, because what we're wearing, they can't tell.
Thank God, because I'm wearing Viking horns and a thong.
You have a face for radio.
Thank you very much. I appreciate that. I love that old joke. It's almost as old as the joke about anytime you hear a siren, the comedian yells, "Oh, there's my ride."
I wrote that joke.
I told the piccolo player joke to my my relatives are all in town for mom's funeral. I told the piccolo player joke to my Uncle Daryl has not stopped laughing. The first motherfucker came out and he started laughing, and by the time I was done, he was gasping for air. He has not stopped laughing since. Anyway, I'm Michael Gugis. You can find my photographs on the web at motorbikeroadracing.smugmug.com. This is Deep Thinking, episode 34.
34.
Schwantz's number, right?
Yes, Schwantz's number.
Absolutely.
You know, that's how I remember when you call in orders to the Mexican place,
right?
And you're going to go pick it up, and all they
right.
tell you order number whatever.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I have to remember the numbers, too. I have to assign somebody's race number because I can't remember the number.
Right.
Good.
Hey, speaking of race numbers, Ed, I have a new hero.
A new hero?
My new hero.
Who
this
did you
guy
fire?
Is absolutely my hero. His Marco Melandri. Marco Melandri, have you heard?
Yeah, he got out of his contract.
Yes, and they paid him.
I don't know the details.
They paid, what I read, this is the genius of Marco Melandri. I'll ride your shit bike. If I don't like it, you can fire me, but you have to pay me to leave.
That's the genius of the manager, right? Oh. To get that in the contract.
I have read that it was a 1 million euro termination fee. For them to get rid of him.
I like the way you say euro. Like $1 million is chump change.
Right.
A million euros.
That'll get you through a long weekend in Vegas. Right.
Right.
And now he doesn't have to ride the shit bike. And have you seen his girlfriend?
No.
Oh my God.
Okay, but what's the source? How do we know it's true?
We don't know it's true. Okay. But this is radio.
Right.
I have a first. Hey.
Close this is radio, but it's not Facebook.
It's close enough for the First Amendment. That's all that matters. Ed, I'm a genius. Don't argue with me. Here's why. Have you seen any of the Moto America stuff?
The t-shirts?
No. Moto America, the
racing.
Races this year?
No.
Dude, I'm telling you something. Running the super stock thousands with the super bikes? Perfect. It has worked out exactly as I had anticipated. Now, the super bikes are going
to
go.
It also appears to work out the way the guys at Moto America anticipated.
You know
as well.
What? Doesn't matter. They got the idea from me.
Okay,
I wrote about it in my 2011 story about British Superbike. Anyway, I digress. How has it worked out? Oh, right. The super bikes run away. And by the way, watching Josh and Cameron beat up on each other this year has been pretty cool. Okay. What happens is that the front running...
This is Michael on too much coffee, by
no,
the way,
No, Michael
folks.
On not enough coffee. The front running super bikes get away. The front running super stock bikes start mixing it up with the mid-pack super bikes. And that's been a lot of fun to watch. Big grids, it's been pretty cool. Ed, I have something else. Let's go ahead and get into...
He's got a list.
I got a list. No. Let's go ahead and talk about what we want to talk about.
So
for the
two
beginning.
Episodes ago, we opened a package of Hickory Farms.
Woohoo!
It proves that Michael's unabashed begging actually works.
Shameless begging.
Shameless begging.
Shameless.
Yes. Unabashed also.
Yes.
Rick Crespo.
Rick Crespo. What up, Rick?
At motoelite.com.
That's moto-elite.com.
Yes. moto-elite.com. Is the guy who
because
sent us
we
the
needed,
stuff.
Because we and, needed to clarify
no, the guy,
what .com meant.
Exactly, right? The guy's a genius, right?
Oh, yeah.
He has a small website, and he sells some t-shirts. And
Bar and Mirrors.
Bar and Mirrors. And it's an interesting story. He made his own Bar and Mirrors, and a couple of friends were like, oh, those are really cool. Can I have some, right? And so
right.
then that grew. And so he made some more, and he put it on a website. And, you know, in today's world, you can just make a website and
right.
sell a few
Start
of the things.
Selling
it's
few
all
things.
Great. And so there was him and some buddies involved, and then life happened, and the band
I like the fact that he called that guy a dick, and then he capitalized the word dick.
I missed that.
It's up here someplace.
Oh, yeah. Turned out to be a dick. So anyway, now it's just Rick, the guy who invented those mirrors that are at MotoElite.com.
He's got something else. Mirrors, Bahrain mirrors, and what else?
I don't know. You go to the website and check it out.
Okay.
And anyway, he's like, yeah, you know, things aren't working out. I want to get this thing going again. Hey, these deep thinking guys, I'll spend $6, send them some Hickory Farms, and I'll get some free publicity.
Absolutely.
And being the sluts that we are, we're like, oh, that's genius, man. So, MotoElite.com. Check out their website.
I have two things.
And if you have a website that needs help, send us.
Exactly.
Do you know what kind of a man I am?
I have a suspicion.
Would you like to know?
Oh my God! I'm not sure.
So, one of the things Rick asked me, he goes,
"Help me!
Hey, did you eat any of the Hickory Farms? Because I could hear Michael eating the whole time." And yes, I ate almost the same volume of Hickory Farms as Michael did, but you couldn't hear me because I have this thing where I chew with my mouth closed.
No, you
didn't. I don't try to talk when my mouth is full.
You weren't enjoying it.
Hickory Farms all over the counter.
You weren't enjoying it as much as I was.
Actually,
and,
my belly is as happy as your belly.
And,
but
your taste buds are not.
When we were all done,
right?
We had eaten one sausage and one cheese block and the crackers.
Right.
I took home with me a sausage and a cheese block.
Right.
I ate all of them last night and the night before and didn't save any for you. That's the kind of guy I am.
You suck. You're the kind of guy who wouldn't give me...
I am a genius.
No, I'm not sure about
not
genius.
Not only did I get all of that myself, which was very tasty to go with my meals here at the racetrack, I kept you from sounding like a slob on the radio.
And
yes.
I wasn't sounding like a slob on the radio. I was eating for a radio audience.
Nice save. That gets points on the scoreboard.
I have a couple of things to say to Rick. First, number one, never, ever, ever, and this is for all of our listeners, never talk about being naked, okay? Because damn, ew. Number two, well, actually, it's not true. Send us pictures. Send them to...
what are you talking about?
It's down here. You got to read the whole freaking email, dude.
It was like three weeks ago.
100 naked...
That's his weight without any gear on.
I know.
Because he's asking me a suspension question.
He used naked. That's just uncomfortable. Send us pictures.
You were shirtless at our last session, and you kept pointing out your nipples to
difference
me.
Is that
and then
I look,
naked
I
is
look,
bad.
But I look
By
good.
The way, you look good with that nice short haircut. You're getting more like Ed every day.
Awful.
It's really smart.
Oh.
First, you got rid of the ponytail.
That was a mistake.
And yeah, you're on your way to a flat top.
Ugh.
Next thing you do, you're gonna dye your hair blonde. That's gonna be too far. I'm telling you now. Jupiter Kajiwara dyed his hair blonde when we raced a 4-hour together in Hawaii.
Right.
And our team name was, wait for it,
alrighty,
the Blonde Leading the Blonde.
We had
some good team names in Hawaii.
I'm gonna allow that.
I tell you what, a Japanese guy with blonde hair looks fucking hilarious.
Oh my
especially
God.
Wearing shorts and his racing boots, walking around the pits, you know, getting ready for the race.
Oh man, sounds like something I'm never gonna get out of my head. Oh Christ. What else? Oh, I wanted to say that Rick is a genius.
We said that.
No. There's something else that he did.
Okay.
This is the best part. Hickory Farms.
Wanted
to charge him $2.
Yeah, for the note.
For the note.
He's like, I'm not spending
$2. God damn it, Rick, you are our hero.
So cheap bastard equals genius.
That's what I'm saying, right? This is why I'm so smart.
But then he did. He got a podcast where we didn't know who it was from.
Right.
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 And then he gets another podcast where we tell the people about it. That is genius.
And save $2.
Exactly.
You know? But don't talk about being naked anymore. all right, Ed, what are we going to talk about today?
Well, we just watched the German GP.
Right. How much time do we have?
We're not going to tell you guys about it.
How much time do we have?
We got plenty of time. We've only been talking for 9 minutes.
Really?
But let's cover one more thing from the past.
Okay.
So we were talking about Assen last time, obviously.
Yeah.
And you talking about how Rossi wins all the races at Assen. I'm like, dude, in 2006, he was like nearly last. And so Curtis Lee, Pirelli tire vendor at... Willow and that general area.
Right.
Sent me a message. Yeah.
Right.
I can't remember. Sorry, Curtis. I'm not remembering the name of your business right now.
He's the Pirelli guy.
Yeah, exactly. And VP Fuels.
Is it? Hmm.
Anyway, the reason Rossi was way in the back is he had crashed and broke his hand in practice.
Ah.
And he ended up eighth.
Not
even
bad.
Though he was at the back at the beginning of the thing when I was watching. So
not bad.
Correction
not
on that.
Bad.
Thank you, Curtis Lee, Pirelli, and VP Fuels in the Willow Springs area.
All right. So if you're listening to this, it's been 9 days since the MotoGP race at the Sachsenring. And we're going to assume...
Oh, right. It just happened today, but they won't hear it.
Right. Until, well, Tuesday.
No, they're going to hear it tomorrow.
Yeah. Well, Tuesday.
One day.
Two days. Okay. Are we going to do spoilers? Yeah, fuck it. You guys should have listened
after 2 days. If they haven't watched it by now, they're losers.
Exactly. So why are you even listening to this? Go just jump off a bridge. The, what was I going to say? Right.
So the first thing I noticed watching practice... Something really cool on the M1s, on
right.
the Yamahas.
Yamahas.
So you got the upper fairing.
Okay.
And then it connects to the lower fairing at some spot. And it's a little higher and a little lower on different bikes. And the way we all do it is we have a row of deuce fasteners where the deuces are in one side and they clip into the clips on the other piece.
Right.
And so that means that if you want to take your upper off your race bike,
right.
you take the lowers off, then you can take the upper off.
Right.
Okay. On the M1, there's two rows of deuce fasteners.
Attached
between.
To something solid.
So there's a bracket behind there.
Right.
Which means that the crew could take the upper off without touching the lower.
Right.
Or the lower off without touching the upper.
Very
slick. And when
slick.
You need to get in there, they got to have a bunch of electronics, right? Behind
right.
that upper that they might need to get to for whatever.
It's like the
genius.
Nut. It's like the nut on the,
yep.
the tail section.
So, you know, it's a few more deuce fasteners, but they're aluminum parts and they're pretty light. And it's a little bigger bracket than you would have had, but that time saving in the pit, we've talked about this before.
Uh-huh.
Time is the most valuable thing. Practice is only however long it is, 45 minutes, half or depending, right? And if you can save 30
right.
seconds, that...
And you're down at the weight limit anyway on those bikes.
Yeah, those guys
The weight's not really relevant at all. Here's what I noticed at the Sachsenring. Yeah, it's typically a Honda track, so we can't read too much into these results. You know, it's like we talked about last time. We talked about Rossi at Assen. Okay, he won at Assen,
right.
but he wins there a lot. You know, I think Marquez is now undefeated at the Sachsenring.
They were saying in practice that he has won there 6 times in a row
yeah.
through his various classes. So
yeah,
now
yeah.
it's 7.
No, it was 5 before. Now it's 6.
No, it was 6. Now it's
okay.
7. And yeah, right. It's 3 times in a row
so
in MotoGP.
So you can't really,
exactly.
you know.
I wasn't surprised by his domination. Clearly,
no. They
went to the wrong bike.
Yeah.
Right. And
exactly.
Isn't that amazing? What part of the pretext of my thing that I thought Pedrosa was going to win the championship this year?
Right.
Was that Honda has to leave the bike alone.
They can't leave the bike alone.
And Yamaha is going to. And then, but then Honda didn't. And Michael's saying you can't. And I can kind of see that. But you know what? You should have.
right? Oh, yeah. Oh, it's very clear in retrospect. Oh,
yeah,
thank
exactly.
you. But, thank you, Captain Obvious.
But, and then we were already talking about this. It's like, you know, you figure in practice, you got this guy named Marquez, and you got this change to the bike. So you go to this testing place, and you
mm-hmm.
bring the old bike, right? And you ride them back to back. And so then what caused that to be, like, not obvious that he was way faster
well,
on the... Of
right.
course, the thing is, right, one, he's not way faster for a short period of time.
Right.
He was fast on the other bike. He just fell down.
The 2015?
Exactly.
Yeah, I mean, how many poles does he have this year?
Yeah, exactly. And
you
then
know?
The other thing we talked about was, well, you know, it's wintertime testing. It's not the same tracks. It's not the same conditions. The rider's not as juiced
Absolutely.
As he is, right?
It's,
you know, there's a lot of factors going on.
Do you remember when he took pole at Coda? With the wrong front
yeah, right.
tire on the bike?
Well, how about the part where you had to sprint 200
right,
yards and
right.
do the high, fucking high jump?
I'm telling you, dude,
the way to beat, to make that guy win races all the time is just fucking knock him over on the grid. Break his clutch lever. There's
something like that.
There's
right.
a scene in a movie where somebody's running for president.
Right.
I think it was West Wing. It was a great TV show,
mm-hmm.
right? And the president has to go out on stage in a moment.
Right.
And his wife knows that he does his speeches best when he's amped. So she has a scissors in her pocket, and she cuts his tie like 10 seconds before he's got to go on the fan. And they're really fast. Like some aide takes his tie off, and they change ties, and then he goes out and gives his best speech ever, right? I mean, for me, my best races are when I'm working on the bike until the last minute and I'm jamming and I'm all focused on that. My hands are all dirty while I'm putting my gloves on. I don't have time to sit around and be nervous
right.
and worried and all that shit. So,
right.
Yeah, it was a boring race, but really fantastic strategy and overall, right?
But the point
is... The start was fucking unbelievable.
Oh, God. Well, we'll talk about that in a second. The point that I was getting at was that the 2015 bike wasn't clearly worse than the 2014. Until you get three races in and you start really developing it.
And the real cream is coming to the crop three races in. We were talking about what happened to Suzuki and Ducati. Right there. It's that good at the beginning of the year.
Yep.
And now the Ducati B bikes are starting to be
as
better
good as their A bikes, right?
And both the Ducati 2 riders and the Suzuki riders don't look happy like they were.
No.
Something has changed there, and it's not just that the Yamaha got a little better.
We gotta talk about that though. The Yamaha and Honda guys, they bring their A game every goddamn weekend. That's development. That's what I love about GP racing, you know?
Unbelievable.
It's war without weapons.
It's the alien thing.
Yeah.
And it's not just squared, it's like cubed.
Exactly. The best riders, the best bike, hundreds of engineers busting their asses trying to, damn it, how do we get that one last second a race?
You know, another thing I saw in this race is all those people who are like, why does Pedroza have the factory ride?
But
fuck you.
That was why.
Did you see that there were four guys that went in the front group? Mm-hmm. And it spread out at the end a little bit. That's going to happen at a track like this.
Right.
But the next guy back was like you couldn't see him.
Exactly.
Pedroza is one of those four guys, whiners.
Exactly.
And that's why he's got the ride.
Yep, absolutely.
Who are you going to give that ride to? Who's that Australian kid?
Oh, yeah, Miller.
Yeah, right?
Crutchlow?
Yeah.
Right? Exactly. Oh. Big props to Lorenzo. That start.
Dude, that start. We were talking about that kid that had the big save. Should have got a point. Lorenzo should get a point for that start.
Exactly. Look, here's a little something for your trouble.
Like, think about this on the club scale, right? Like, it's a big deal when you ride around the outside of your buddy,
right?
The track there or whatever. Okay.
Right.
He rode around two aliens.
He rode around two Repsol Hondas, dude.
And not only did he start from however many feet behind both of them,
right?
Because it's staggered row. He has on the inside.
Right.
So first he had to make it so that he could get to the left. And then, right? Unbelievable.
That was the guy.
And it didn't even look like he just said, oh, I'm going to wait until they break. No, right? Because then he didn't fold.
He had a plan.
He had a plan. And check this out.
Uh-huh.
How many laps did he get to practice that plan?
None.
None, right?
Right.
You don't ever go from a stop and go.
And we don't.
Like, what braking marker did he use?
And you don't really know how much temperature you've got in the tire.
You really don't. Unbelievable.
You know
what he does?
Uh-huh.
He just goes in there and he goes, dude, I'm Lorenzo. I'm going to hold it up my knee for
fine.
As long as I got to fucking hold it up on my knee.
Yeah, it'll be fine.
It's a skill set that not a lot of people have.
It's that mental skill set to be able to charge in there and go, it'll work.
Yeah.
It'll be fine.
Yeah.
You know, the announcers on the broadcast I watched said, yeah, he's got a set on him.
Yeah.
Wow.
I don't know how you walk with a set that
big,
was right?
Right, exactly. What do they used to say about Carlos Checa? He clanks when he walks.
So another really cool thing, and I've noticed this slowly over time, and I keep forgetting to mention it, Nick, the announcer, remember like last year, anytime the bikes are coming at the camera and the bike behind pulls out to the side, Nick starts talking about a pass because he was confused by the, you know, the big lens makes the bike look closer together and all that stuff.
Yeah.
He's corrected that. I don't know if it's somebody on the outside, you know, if they've got people now saying, hey, dude, or he figured it out himself, whatever. Normally, announcers have a tick, a problem, and they just never fix it.
Right.
And these guys are working hard and fixing their ticks. The coverage has gotten better. Did we go to a stupid slow-mo near the end of the race? No, we didn't.
We saw a couple of them,
but they weren't. Right? And we got more aerial helicopter
pictures. We like
pictures.
The aerial
Those
shots. Aerial shots are...
Especially in a track like this with all the hills, it's hard to put it together in your mind.
Yes.
And that helps you.
Exactly. Yep. You need some of that aerial footage so you know where, when they go to the close-up, you know what corner they're in.
Yep.
Plus, like you said, you use the C word, context.
Yes,
that is the aerial shot. That's the genius.
You know what? Another thing I learned from the aerial shot,
which is
so if you look at the map of the track, there's a circle in the infield. It looks like Stonehenge. They got a circle, and there's all these blocks in it.
It's not Stonehenge?
No, it's not Stonehenge. And it's not a replica Stonehenge, which I thought it might have been.
Right.
It's a circle, and that's where they park the motorhomes, in a circle.
Oh, that's so
badass. It looks
like
Stonehenge. And so it's really cool because it means you can have one place and all the cords plug in.
Right.
You don't have to have all these little islands. It's cost less, right?
That's very clever.
Right, yeah. And so, but that's what that, you could see that when the helicopter shot. That's, I noticed
really
it.
Kinda
yeah,
awesome.
Be good.
Really kind of awesome. How are we doing on time, Paul? That was something that Dave Letterman used to say.
20 minutes exactly.
All
so
right,
let's
so
do
let's
our
2 minute
two warning, minute
do you
which
have
we
one?
Don't have.
I have one.
Okay, good.
Ed, did you see the Suzukis at the race?
Nice
paint
colors,
scheme,
yeah.
Right? You know why we're talking about their paint scheme?
30-year anniversary of something, right?
No, because they weren't winning.
No, it was sad.
You know,
And that track, theoretically, should have been better for them. So I'm really puzzled by that.
I'm not.
And I think that, by that, I mean what we mentioned a little bit ago. How come Ducati and Suzuki aren't continuing the good show that they had in the beginning of the season? But to find out, you're going to have to wait for episode
35. He's Ed Sorbo.
He's Michael Gugis.
Aloha.
le-suspension.com. Well, that's where they got to go to listen to it.
You whore.
Yours disappeared.
Aloha.